You've perhaps seen these commercials on TV about a household product that is supposed to help freshen up the air. And from what I could tell from their current ad campaign, it is all about this product being a solution to those smells to which we become nose blind. Whether it be stinky socks or your stinky dog, sometimes we evidently become nose blind to these scents that others may find noxious. And so the claim of this product is that if we just use it, just the smells will go away. It was interesting to consider that in the history of this product, it almost never made it to market, precisely because of this phenomenon of what they called nose blindness. The story goes is that as they were pursuing a certain marketing strategy for those people who had noxious smells that they wanted to get rid of. And they thought they had a hit. There was a testimony of a woman who was a wildlife worker, and she worked with a lot of skunks, evidently, and that smell came home with her. But she was a young woman who was trying to settle down and get married. But whenever she would go on a date or try to meet a guy, the smell of the skunks would go with her, and it was very difficult for her to meet someone. This product evidently was able to transform her life and saved her social life. So armed with this kind of testimony and others, the marketeers tried to market that product, but it wasn't working. They tried to figure out why. So they went, in one occasion, they followed up with a woman who received some samples of their product, but stopped using it. They actually came to her home to try to see, how do you use this, or how do you not use it? And as she opened the door to greet them, they were assailed by the smell of cats and things associated with cats. Evidently, she loved her cats, and there were many of them in her home. And they stumbled into her house, and they asked her, how did you use this product? And she said, I just use it every once in a while, but I don't really see the need for it. And they asked her, do you ever smell your cats? Like, well, every once in a while, I do. Do you smell them now? Well, no, I don't. And they exchange eyes at each other among the marketeers. It's like, well, we smell it. Well, I don't think they said it to her, but they were thinking it. And eventually they leave. That company eventually had to change their marketing strategy because of this nose blindness. And evidently now, decades later, they're using it as their marketing ploy, which is interesting. The analogy of blindness is something that is very evocative to us. In our gospel today, we have a story of a man receiving physical sight. As men and women of faith, we can consider the story of Bartimaeus as an example for us to pursue not just physical sight, but spiritual sight. Perhaps the troubling thing about blindness is that we don't really know what we are blind to. Those nose-blind people are not aware of their noxious smells in their home they got used to. For Bartimaeus, he undoubtedly knew that there was a visible world beyond his grasp, but he did not know exactly what was happening. Was it something dangerous? Was it something good? Was it something ugly? Was it something beautiful? He didn't quite know. And for ourselves, as we pursue spiritual healing, perhaps we are unaware of something ugly in our life, some area of sin or vice. But also we may be blind to what is beautiful, the love of God, for instance, or some beautiful truth about our faith. As our Lord said to Bartimaeus, your faith has saved you. Something about Bartimaeus' faith allowed him to receive this gift of sight. But how did he exercise that faith? There are three points I would like to note from Bartimaeus' story, three beats of the plot, as it were. The first one was that he was on the roadside begging. That's no easy thing to look over. The fact was that Bartimaeus recognized his blindness, he recognized his need, and in humility he was asking for help. How often are we not aware of our own blindness, our spiritual blindness? And even if we consider physical sight, I'm nearsighted, I have pretty bad astigmatism, and many of us go through life when we, you know, We did not realize we needed glasses or corrective lenses. We've gone through life thinking it was normal for us to squint and not see, you know, the leaves of the trees or the writing on the chalkboard. But then later on, getting glasses or contact lenses, I say, oh, I have not been seen properly this whole time. Similarly for us spiritually, we may be not aware of our spiritual blindness, but in humility, follow the example of Bartimaeus, we ought to ask for this spiritual healing. Second beat in this plot was that Bartimaeus was persistent. He was crying out, begging to our Lord to have mercy, but people rebuked him, telling him to be silent. In that story, they're probably telling Bartimaeus to not bother the Master, not bother Jesus. For us, it may be the reverse. People offering us a false mercy to say, don't bother yourselves. Maybe we're pricked in conscience a little bit and say, there's something new here, there's something different, something I must be attentive to. And people may tell us, well, just be you, just do your thing. You don't have to be worried about this spiritual blindness that is on your mind. Just live your life as you would. But following the example of Bartimaeus, we ought to be persistent, even in the face of people saying that it's okay, that we could continue on with the blindness as if there's nothing wrong. Third point. Before Bartimaeus was able to even come up to Jesus and make that prayer to him personally, he did something very interesting. As St. Mark relates, Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak and then sprang up and came to Jesus. Consider the circumstance of blind Bartimaeus. Unable to see, he probably was not able to work. That's why he was on the roadside begging for food or for money. He was impoverished. And very likely that cloak that he threw aside was one of his last possessions, if not his only one. Imagine the security that that cloak would have given him against the elements, against, you know, nakedness. But he threw that aside with the confidence that he was going to receive a healing from our Lord that cloak was not able to provide him. As we pursue spiritual sight, spiritual healing, what is the cloak that we may have to set aside? Maybe we're asked to set aside the time we put in playing video games or binging on Netflix or angrily watching cable news. Maybe we are asked to put aside toxic relationships that engender in us attitudes of cynicism or despair or doubt. Maybe we're asked to put aside bad habits of thought in which we find ourselves objectifying others or seeking to control people for some sense of control. Following the example of Bartimaeus, are we willing to throw aside this cloak, these false sources of security, and spring up and come to our Lord to make that prayer, Master, I want to see. And as Bartimaeus received that gift of sight, he undoubtedly saw things that might have been disturbing to him. Maybe he would have seen the disfigurement of his own body or of his limbs or hands. Maybe he perceived judgmental glances from people around him. But surely he saw beautiful things as well. The loving gaze of our Lord, the beauty of the sun and God's creation. As we have our spiritual eyes open to things we were not aware of, we have to be prepared to see things both ugly and beautiful. We may see that we have been involved in some kind of sin, habitually beyond our notice, and we may feel ashamed at thinking, was I really that bad? Thankfully, in God's mercy, he gives healing to that as well. But also, beyond the mere moral blindness we may experience, we may be blind to the beautiful truths of faith. How many of us as cradle Catholics have gone through life not really taking to heart the beauty of who God is, that God loves us or loves you? We may hear that again and again, but it takes a moment of spiritual insight, a healing of blindness, for us to finally accept that into our lives. That yes, I can truly see that God desires a personal relationship with me. Perhaps we've grown up with a doctrine of transubstantiation, and we could say intellectually Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament, but in a moment of insight, we can finally say, yes, I know again, I am reminded again that Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament. Such are the things that we may become blind to, and following the example of Bartimaeus, we can seek to be healed of that blindness. And the epilogue, as it were, to Bartimaeus' story was that Jesus invited him to go on your way. But Bartimaeus did not simply go on his own way. He went on the way. As Mark says, Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. Having received new sight, he used that gift of sight to be a disciple and to have his life configured and following the pattern of Jesus. May we have the grace to do likewise as we come to our Lord at this Mass and every day of our lives, saying the prayer of Bartimaeus, Master, I want to see you.